Today we continue our series on this whole idea of bless. It's it's an approach to being effective in our community as the people of God. So it's kind of this bless approach. Now, a bit of honesty here. When we first started this series, or when we began talking about the possibility, I do admit to having a bit of skepticism. I mean, after all, what is this going to teach us that we don't already know? I mean, after all, I'd been through the Billy Graham School of Evangelism training for evangelism and went to Wheaton, Illinois to be a part of that. And I'd taken Evangelism Explosion back in the 80s. And I've studied the four spiritual laws. And so while I was kind of open to learning about a better way to do what I know that God has called me to do, and that is to be a witness, this strategy at first reading, at least for me, felt a bit different. I guess the problem is it lacked a sense of the same kind of punch that some of the other evangelism training brought to the picture. I guess you see, the way I often have looked at this is that there are people in the church who have the gift of evangelism. And they have this God-given supernatural ability to know with absolute certainty in their hearts that a person is ready to hear the good news of the gospel. And they have this God-given ability to approach those persons in such a way that they will not put up any barriers by what they say to that person hearing the good news of Jesus. And people respond to that like crazy. And I don't have that gift. Oh, I've asked God for it. I've prayed earnestly for it. But simply, God has never chosen to give me that gift. And frankly, you know, here we are as a people of God. We're being told to go and take the good news, to share the good news, to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he only gives a small group of people this gift of evangelism. And the rest of us are left kind of going, how do we handle this? I've asked God for the gift. As I said, I prayed for it. I've found myself even jealous, of course, in a righteously jealous way, of people who have the gift of evangelism. I mean, after all, we're called to be witnesses for and of Jesus, not just the specially gifted people. He doesn't say, those of you who have the gift, be evangelists. Probably for me, that was extra hard because I grew up around a father who had the gift of evangelism as probably his primary spiritual gift. And it just seemed like he always was sharing the good news of Jesus, and every time he met somebody, he was sharing the good news, and it just came so naturally. And I could never understand, why did God give him that gift and not me? Oh, sure, I've had the privilege of sharing the good news and seeing people come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I have, and that's wonderful. But not like someone who is obviously gifted in that area. I remember early on in my ministry reading a book by Rebecca Pippert called Out of the Salt Shaker, Into the World. Great book about evangelism. And I remember getting to the point in the book where she talks about getting in a taxi, in the back seat of a taxi in a big city. And she gets in the taxi and God inspires her to start singing Jesus Loves Me. And so she starts singing Jesus Loves Me in the back of this taxi and ends up leading that taxi driver to the Lord. And I remember taking that book and throwing it across the room and saying, this is not real. This isn't reality. This isn't how it works for the real people around us. Yes, for the Rebecca Pipperts, but come on. Can any of us just naturally be that way? And if God doesn't gift us, how is this going to happen? But anyway, here we are talking about how do we do ministry to our community. And then I'm told about this book and its revolutionary approach to taking the good news of Jesus to our neighborhood and to our world. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is another method, maybe even a better method, another formula for making it easy to be evangelistic. I'm all in from that perspective. And while I'm always glad to learn another method, I'm quite sure that no new method is suddenly going to give me the gift of evangelism. But as I read this book, and as I looked into the scriptures that supported what was written, I realized that this is not just another 1-2-3-step formula for replacing the gift of evangelism. It's rather an effort to understand and then live out the lifestyle of Jesus. A lifestyle of doing what God had done first for us, and that's bless us. And that he expected to have us in turn to do to the world around us, and that is to bless others. So for the next few weeks, we're going to look at and think about what Jesus did in his ministry here on earth and how he modeled this simple lifestyle. And so while we've talked about it today a bit, today I want to introduce you even more closely to this whole bless concept. Now, 2 weeks ago, we discussed that the way we have been doing church in the last 50 years, frankly, has not been overly effective at impacting our world. And last week, we took a fairly lengthy look at the pattern of blessing that runs from scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation. Did you know actually that bless or blessed or blessings are mentioned 388 times in the NIV translation of the Bible and 456 times in the NLT of the scriptures and 499 times in the ESV? By the way, sorry, I just trusted my Bible software to tell me that. I didn't actually count that. You are, however, willing and able and free to check that out, and if my facts are wrong, let me know. But I'm just trusting my Bible software that says, yeah, this is how many times bless. So this is a major concept of Scripture. The point is that it's a common and well-documented theme throughout all of Scriptures that it's easy for us to build on and say, does Jesus' lifestyle reflect all of what Scripture is teaching, and does this make sense for us? Remember what Jesus said about this idea of blessing and serving? It's found in Mark 10, 42-45 that was read for us. But let me read it again. It says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers in the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Serving, blessing others, is something that God does for us that we are just expected to pass on to other people and to the world around us. Now, I'm going to do something that is probably a preaching faux pas to the highest degree, and that is basically I am going to share with you some of the things that we read in this book. So if you've got the book and you've read this already, sorry. But there's some things here that I simply can't duplicate. So I'm going to share basically with you what Dave and John Ferguson have to say about this idea of blessing, and let them speak into it at this point. So I'm just wanting to tell you that I am taking this wholesale out of their book, and so it's not my original work, and I don't want to be accused of plagiarism, even though I'm admittedly plagiarizing their work. However that works. Okay, here it is. So he starts out early on in the book and he says, your question, next question might be the same as ours. So what do I do now? How do I exactly be a blessing in the life of my neighbor? Are there some guidelines for this strategy? What does it look like and how can I intentionally be a blessing? Now, with those questions driving them, David and John Ferguson said that they took a look at the life of Jesus to see if there was any reoccurring patterns in how he befriended and blessed the people in his life. And then they go on to say, the more we combed through the Gospels, the more we began to see some simple practices that he routinely employed. And then they made a list of those simple practices and narrowed them down to the top five we believe that people can do on a regular basis. And after we identified the top five, we focused on making them simple and unforgettable, putting them into a memorable acrostic, BLESS. That's how they discovered the BLESS process. Five everyday ways that Jesus loved his neighbors. So let's briefly highlight the five blessed practices here through Jesus' words and actions. And over the next few weeks, by the way, we'll dig deeper to see how these five practices can actually work in each of our own lives. How can we actually do this? But let's see what Ferguson has to say about the blessed lifestyle practices. First of all, he says, begin with prayer. That's the B. When Jesus started his earthly mission, Luke tells us that he went out on a mountain and prayed, as the little video told us. Prayer is both how you discover your mission and how you live out your mission. Interestingly enough, over and over through Scripture, we see Jesus retreating to pray. In fact, he's often even criticized by his disciples because they're thinking, we ought to get on with the work of ministry. And what are they finding? That Jesus is off by himself praying. If you're not sure who God is calling you to bless or where God is calling you to be a blessing, you must begin with prayer. And if you know the people that you want to bless, begin praying for them right away. And once we start the prayer process, then we move on to the L, and that's listen. Asking questions and then listening was central to Jesus' life and teaching. You know, think for a minute. I don't know if you remember the story of the blind man, in Luke chapter 18. Jesus didn't assume, like the blind man says, you know, help me, help me, help me. And you'd think that he's blind, that Jesus would just assume that what he was wanting to be helped with was his blindness. But you know what Jesus does? He asks them, what do you want me to do for you? And then he listened. Do you realize that in the Gospels, Jesus asked many more questions than he answered? In fact, he was asked 183 different questions in the Gospels. And you realize that Jesus only answered a handful of them. Any relationship starts with listening to someone's words and life. I read not long ago that one of the handicaps of the way we communicate with each other is that while we are listening to people, often we're not actually listening. We're thinking in our mind how we're going to respond. We're already thinking about what I'm going to say in response to that, and we're not really hearing what they have to say. True listening is simply a great tool in our relationship with one another. In fact, any relationship starts with listening to someone's words and life. And true listening, it turns out, may be the kindest and most loving gift you can give to someone. And I tell you, we're not very good at it. And we're going to have to practice that, and we're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us that. The E of bless is eat. Jesus loved to eat. In fact, people called him a glutton. I don't think he was a gluttonous, but he just chose not to be this ascetic John the Baptist eating locusts and wild honey in the wilderness. Throughout the Gospels, we see him eating and people's place and sharing. We find him eating with tax collectors and sinners. There's something about sharing a meal together that moves any relationship past acquaintance towards friendship, faster than about anything else we can do. Frankly, I've decided that this is my favorite part of the BLESS principle. And I intend to practice this with diligence. But it's true, when we can actually eat together, and now that we're beginning to look at the ending of the least of the biggest restrictions of the pandemic, maybe there's a chance for us to eat with our neighbors, to have a barbecue, to spend some time. There's something about having food in your hand that breaks down barriers. Jesus understood this. Then there's the first S, and that first S is serve. Jesus told us straight up, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He modeled for that idea that once you begin with prayer and you listen and you eat with someone, there's a good chance that you will discover how you can best serve that person that God is asking you to bless. We're called on to serve one another. And the final S is story. When people are ready to listen, Jesus listened, and then finally when people were ready to listen, Jesus would share his story. Like when doubting Thomas came to him saying, "How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When you befriend and bless people, eventually they feel relationally safe and want to know your story. And then, and only then, you can tell them how the love of God and Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has changed you. Dave Ferguson then asked for me what was a very important question. Would it work? He tells us that he was still not convinced that God would use these five simple practices to change the life of a friend or a neighbor. It seems so counter to all that the typical evangelism and outreach training and teaching out there have told us. And it's kind of embarrassing that to admit that being skeptical, especially because it was God who gave us the blessing strategy. He gave it to Abraham and then saw it lived out in the life of Jesus and proclaimed by Paul as someone for everyone who has faith. Those are some pretty heavy hitters. And if they felt that blessing people was the way to carry the kingdom forward, their truth should be our truth. Ferguson then explains, maybe my hesitance to fully buy in was because I had tried so many other approaches that failed. And suddenly as I'm reading this, I'm going, yeah, that's me. Would these simple everyday ways really, really change the life of my neighbor? I mean, there's no tough call. There's no sales pitch. And all of a sudden it began to dawn on me that this is not a formula. It's a lifestyle. It's not being part of a huge evangelistic crusade. It's us thinking about how we go about being the hands and feet of Jesus in our world. When we think about it, serving and blessing other people is what is simply expected of us as the people of God. Remember the passage that Lance read from us from Mark 12? Look at that again. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus said, "is, 'Hear this, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength,' and with all your strength. The second is unto this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself.' There's no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is the one and God is one and there's no other but him. But to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your understanding and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And then no one dared ask him any more questions. Do you catch the key statement in this text? He says, "You are right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." You see, the whole idea of blessing is understanding that we live among and around and with people the Scripture calls our neighbors. And we are called to give careful consideration to and care about our neighbors in the same way that we'd like to be treated. We grew up being told it's the golden rule. And we are called on to love our neighbors, treat our neighbors the way we want to be treated. That's how we bless them. But I want to digress here a minute as we consider this bless idea. Now, I don't know about you, but as I began this whole process, I kept thinking, okay, what do I have to do? Because you see, when I think of blessing, I'm always thinking in terms of, what do I have to give? If I'm going to bless someone, what's it going to cost me? And while that might be a part of blessing, it's not the whole picture. Sometimes blessings come and we bless others when we receive as well as we give. While it's tempting to think that if we're going to be a blessing to people, it means always giving, that's really not indicative of Jesus' blessing pattern. A couple of weeks ago, you remember we talked about Jesus and Zacchaeus. Did Jesus say, "Zacchaeus, come to my house, I'm going to serve you a nice meal"? No. Jesus showed Zacchaeus honor by allowing Zacchaeus to serve him without making him in any way feel belittled. In fact, remember the story from Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9? It says, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table, where was he? Reclining at a table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper. A woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have here with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Now, that's a unique story, but I want you to notice some things in the story. First of all, Simon's not at Jesus' house. He's at Simon's house. So Simon is doing the giving. Secondly, he's at the house of Simon the leper. Did you catch that? Do you understand that in Jesus' day, a leper was someone that you could not get near? They were required by law to wander through the streets wherever they went, carrying a bell and yelling, shouting, leper, leper, so people would stay away from them. So nobody would touch them. Nobody would come near them. And Jesus goes to his house. So what that means is he's meeting with someone who would not be at all welcome in any context in his day. So Jesus is willing to bless Simon with his breaking of the barriers and visiting him and allowing Simon to serve him. This had to be an unimaginable blessing to Simon. And then notice a third interesting part of the story. While Jesus was at Simon's house, a woman comes and opens a jar of very expensive perfume and pours the whole thing on Jesus. This must have made quite an impression. I mean, this is recorded in all four Gospels. Mark says she poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Luke tells us it was over his feet, and the other two don't mention it, where it was. So maybe it was on both. We don't know. Luke adds, however, an additional wrinkle to the story. For Luke explains that this was a certain immoral woman. And John even names her Mary. The issue is this. If there was a Mary who had a questionable reputation, she would never have been willing to even come or risk not being welcome at a person's house that would have not been considered the right people. But because Jesus goes to Simon's house, because he breaks all of the rules, if you will, breaks all the etiquette rules, she risks the scorn of the people at the party and even the scorn of the disciples of Jesus. And she blesses Jesus in a way that no other person in Scripture is blessed. Her story, actually becomes a permanent part of our understanding, this whole idea of blessing. Why do you think Jesus said that her story will be told wherever the gospel is preached? I have to be honest with you, I've struggled with that idea for a lot of years. Why would Jesus say that her story, of all the stories in the New Testament, why is her story the one that will be shared? Because you know why? Because she understood what it was to bless. You and I are called to bless the people we come in contact with. Sometimes that blessing will involve the giving of ourselves, our time, our energy, our hospitality, sometimes even our resources. And sometimes it will be allowing people around us to serve us and doing so with grace and thankfulness and a humility and love that can only come from the desire to bless them with God's abundant love and grace. I don't know how this whole bless process is going to work for us. And I can't say that it's going to be some wonderful sudden change. What I do know is that God invites you and I to pass on the blessings that he gives to us. And I invite you into this journey. Turns out, you don't need the gift of evangelism for this. This is something you and I can just do. And we may just discover that God can use us to touch and reach our neighbors and our communities in our world in ways we could never imagine if we just are willing to bless. As we close today, might your prayer be that God allows you to simply be a blessing to the people you touch this week. And I would probably end by saying that one of the keys of us being a blessing is that we have to move away from our very self-centered, narcissistic worldview that is so prevalent in our society. And we have to start seeing other people as people we love and care for. The reality of our day is it's all about serve me, serve me. What do I get out of this? What's the benefit to me? And the way of Christ is looking at it very different and saying, no, I'm here to serve. I'm here to bless because I have been blessed. And when we can change the way we think into that kind of mindset, when we can actually become people full of the fruit of the Spirit who are love, give away love and joy and peace, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. When we can be those kind of people, the Scriptures tell us we can change our world. So I invite you into the journey. No guarantees, no prophetic words about how this is going to change. But what we do have is this promise of God that says, I blessed you, pass the blessing on. Be prayerful. Listen. Eat together. Tell your story. And allow God to do great things in and through you. As we close our service today, I invite you to be thinking about what God may be calling you to do today. How God may be calling you to bless the people around you. And just maybe it could change your neighborhood and your world. That's my prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, I thank you so much for the privilege we have of being able to be together. And Lord, you bless us in so many ways. You bless us with health. You bless us with friends. You bless us with a body, a church that we can fellowship and worship together. You bless us, Lord, by giving us your word and the promises of your word. And Lord, we want nothing more than to pass those blessings on to others. So allow us to do that today. Even as we leave this place, would we find people that we can bless? Sometimes it may just mean saying thank you or I care about you. But would you give us wisdom on how to do that? So now, Lord, dismiss us from this place with your blessing, with your keeping, with your goodness and kindness. allow us to be a blessing to the world around us today. Amen. God bless you all.